Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Hi. Good to have you back on the studio.
Yeah, I made it.
After a long time gone.
Yeah.
This is much better than doing it by phone.
It is.
Yeah. So we've been doing quite a long series about, oh, I don't know what you want to call it, problems in the modern culture, problems in the modern world, doctrine and teaching. And last week we were in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where my hero, St. Paul, writes to young Timothy about telling him, perilous times are going to come at the end, and bad things are going to happen. And maybe we should read that again before we comment. But, you know, the music comes so fast, we've got to keep moving along. And not redo last week's show. You can listen on giftofgraceministries.org. But 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5.
All right. But understand this. There will be terrifying times in the last days. People will be self-centered and lovers of money, proud, haughty, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, irreligious, callous, implacable, slanderous, licentious, brutal, hating what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, as they make a pretense of religion but deny its power.
Whoa.
Reject them.
Whoa. Was he seeing our time? It sounds like he was.
Not much different.
Not much difference.
Because the sin problem still remains.
Yeah. And even when he writes in Romans chapter 1, kind of like that, you read the second half of that chapter and you think, wow, that's where we're living now. And it's kind of gives you a, we touched on this last week, but you know, when you hear these kind of things that were written almost 2,000 years ago, then you look around at the modern time and you see how these things are actually playing out. It really gives you even more encouragement that what he wrote in these scriptures is true, and that these prophecies are true, and that he was a true teacher and a true prophet, because what he said is coming true. Now, of course, like Peter writes in 2 Peter, there's always people that say, well, things have always been that way. And that's true. But in general, I think anybody will agree that no one's ever lived like the culture that we're living in now, in terms of turning away from God and making it up and boasting about it and making a scandal of it and promoting it and putting it in everybody's face, that what is evil is actually good, and what's good is actually evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of things in the culture right now that are opposite of what God's will is, opposite of God's holiness, and they're flat out evil. And it's out in the open.
Yes.
More so than it's ever been in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's periods in the history of salvation where culture has really gone astray.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
sure.
Sodom and Gomorrah,
sure.
Time of Noah, stuff like that. But the ability for us to gather information and get news from across the globe is something that's unprecedented in our culture, in our time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's bad news can travel much faster, but good news of Jesus Christ can travel much faster too.
Yes.
So that's the good thing.
Yeah. And we're going to cover this in a few minutes, but you know, he tells Timothy later to, he's got to keep preaching. He's got to keep evangelizing. And last week we talked about this because something really struck me over the course of the day was the culture, the world, you know, the old term, the world, the flesh, and the devil, but let's just call it the culture, is very busy evangelizing. and they're very busy evangelizing your children, and they're very busy evangelizing young people, and they're very busy evangelizing older people too. But the world is always getting its message out. And the question is, do we as believers, are we doing enough to get the gospel out? Are we doing enough to get the news of salvation out into the world? Are we doing enough to show the world where it's gone and how it's gotten into darkness and how it's been taken over by dark demonic forces that now are not even making a pretense of trying to follow any kind of societal norm?
Yeah.
Or the societal norm has actually become the dark demonic force, because the demonic forces are very happy to, quote, evangelize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've, like we said last week, if you've got an 18-year-old who's going off to college, it doesn't matter how, I mean, it matters, but, you know, how well you've prepared them for this. And when they get there, they're going to be faced with things that they're not even aware of.
Yeah.
Or that maybe they've been able to fight while they were in high school, or maybe they've been able to not really think about while they were living at your house. But now they're going to have everything you can imagine on display.
Yeah.
And it's, the world is always evangelizing them. And it's more powerful than it's ever been.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the book of Revelation, it says that when Satan knows his time is short, he gets very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And right. Paul says, you know, this is what's going to happen at the end time. These things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Because Satan gets very aggressive. And we covered most of that passage last week, but we got down to these things are even going to have a form of godliness. You know, some of these things are done by people who call themselves Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these people are done by people that talk about religion, but in a different way.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of religion. It's a different kind of basis of their religion. They don't really believe that the religion, they don't really believe the true religion. They don't really believe that religion has any power, because they don't want to submit to any kind of power and authority.
Yeah.
But they coach things in religious terms. Well, you know, the earth is speaking to us. You know, God wants us to take care of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God doesn't want women to suffer. You know, God wants women to be taken care of. Therefore, a woman's right to choose is very important. Yeah, I mean, man. And if these two men love each other, why can't they get married? Yeah, well, why can't they get married? Yeah, that doesn't seem fair that they shouldn't be able. And it goes on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing it with increasing power.
Yeah. Yeah. As you're saying that, what I'm thinking about is how believers, when they make a commitment to Jesus Christ, or when they first come to faith, you know, there's that mustard seed of faith that God says, even faith the size of a mustard seed, that's all you need.
Yeah.
But the mustard seed grows into one of the biggest trees or bushes,
mm-hmm.
as Jesus says.
Mm-hmm.
So that faith the size of a mustard seed in the new believer needs to come to fruition and mature and grow. And I think a lot of times what happens is that faith the size of a mustard seed gives someone a little bit of faith, a little bit of religion, and they stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you get a little bit of it, but you don't get the whole thing. And we want to hold on to our desires. We want to hold on to our earthly pleasures. And God's saying, no, I want all of you. And thus, a lot of these things are left in place and people act in accordance with the desires of the flesh rather than in accordance with the desires of the spirit.
Yeah. Wow. Very good.
And so as Paul points out to Timothy here, all of these are sins of pride,
mm-hmm.
self-centeredness, lovers of money, proud, haughty, mm-hmm. you know, abusive, obedient. All of these things are sins of pride, and it goes back to Cain and Abel. You know, people talk about violence, gun violence, any type of violence nowadays. You know, did Cain need a gun to kill his brother? Nope. It's not the weapon, whatever that weapon might be. It's the condition of man's heart.
It's the man, yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have all of our elected officials who are trying to figure this out. But they're not trying to figure it out with God.
Right.
They're trying to figure it out apart from God.
Yes.
And so they're trying to use their own wisdom.
Yes.
And go, well, if we just do this, we just ban this, we ban that.
That's right.
Well, why don't you just wrap everybody in bubble wrap? And this way, nobody can get hurt. You know, if you fall down, you just bounce back up. And, you know, you have a utopian society.
Yeah.
That's what they're hoping for.
If we ban knives, too, it's going to make cooking and eating a lot more difficult.
It is. Especially for people that don't have all their teeth.
Well, yeah, that's very, very well put, because as this has invaded even the church.
Yeah.
So, you know, in years, in centuries past, you know, false teachers were kind of sifted out. We're kind of like gotten rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Say, well, you're a false teacher. You're not allowed to preach here anymore.
Yeah.
But now everybody has a pulpit. Everybody has a platform. And a false teacher can set up a church, in quotation marks, anywhere, because no one is under any kind of authority. And so false teaching can go on and it can spread. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But you know, within the church, authorities have to be on the lookout for this.
Yeah.
And they really have done a terrible job of that, because the culture has invaded slowly, now a little more rapidly, but it's gotten people convinced that what they're saying is true.
Yes.
And that if they don't agree, something's wrong with them.
Yeah.
They're either bigots or homophobes or racist or something.
Right. I mean, if you look at how Satan operates, that little bit of a lie that he tells you is perpetrated. He tells you that over and over. Look in our culture. Lies are being told over and over and over. And when you tell somebody a lie enough times, they tend to start to believe it,
yes,
even though it's not the truth.
Yes.
So Christians need to be countering these messages or these lies with the truth of God, and that's not happening.
Exactly. And that's and this is what Paul's telling Timothy to do.
Right.
And you have to stand and do it. Mm-hmm. And when you encounter people like this, he says, get away from them. You withdraw from them.
Yeah.
You know, in 1 Corinthians, I think it's in chapter 1, it's right at the beginning of 1 Corinthians. They're talking about some sexual sin that's going on in Corinth and the church, and they've tried to counsel and correct this guy, but he won't listen to him. Paul says, just turn him over to Satan. You can only do so much. And if the guy won't submit, then you just turn him over to Satan and hope that, you know, later on he's going to see the light. But now we don't have people that are confronting false teachers, because the church has remained silent.
Yeah.
The people, you know, we're a remnant now, and the kingdom is, I mean, the kingdom is not threatened. I don't want to make it sound that way, but the people who used to be in defending the kingdom are now telling me that, you know, I can speak something into existence in my life, or I can speak something into existence in some other life, or, you know, if I have faith, I'm not going to get heart disease or cancer or diabetes or anything, if I have enough faith. And along with that, I'm also going to be able to make a lot of money, and I'm also going to be able to have a nice car. And so those places are packed with people.
Yeah.
But somebody who's preaching the gospel, or somebody who's running a Bible study where the truth is being taught, you know, that's kind of boring in comparison to being told you're going to make money and have a nice car and have a nice job.
Yeah.
And the Christian community as a whole, the church as a whole, isn't standing up and say, you know what, this is not the Christianity of the scriptures.
Yeah.
This is not the gospel that was preached. They're getting their ears tickled, as we're going to hear about hopefully in a little while, that you can't just have feel good teaching.
Mm-hmm.
some of these things are not feel-good things. There is happiness and there is joy, but you can have joy in the Lord making $10,000 a year and living in a hut. You know, as opposed to, well, I know the Lord will bless me with a $5 million a year job.
Right.
That has nothing to do with it. He will bless you, and if he does, that's great. And there's nothing wrong with it. If he blesses you with money, that's great, depending what you're going to use the money for.
Yeah.
But the thing now is that's become a big branch of Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the culture has taken over the church.
Yes.
Or the pastors, religious leaders, have allowed the culture to take over the church because they've conformed to it. You know, they're no longer a reed that's not swayed by the wind. They are the reed that is swayed by the wind.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, they're not holding fast to the word of God because, well, gosh, if I don't have a full congregation, then my collection's down.
Mm-hmm.
And if my collection's down, well, then we can't do all this stuff, and how's it going to impact our ministries and everything? And God will provide for all those things. God doesn't call us to the success that we think of as in the world, but he calls us to be faithful to his word and to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to provide in ways that we can't even imagine. He's going to provide in time that we need it. We're not always going to have the luxury of having security nets because we're trusting in God.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And it's not going to be that, oh, well, I'm doing this work for the Lord, and, you know, I'm really secure in this because God's got all these things lined up for me, all these provisions, so I don't have to worry about a thing. It's generally not how God operates.
No.
You know, he might call you to step out in faith, and at the last moment, he provides the airplane ticket. Mm-hmm. He provides this, and he provides the other thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, you see the power of God working,
yeah,
where in other ways, you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give testimony to that, because that's how God works in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the power of evangelization and testimony. But see, a lot of that is missing today because of what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
The culture has so inundated the church that you can't recognize a distinct difference between the two.
Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, in that same scenario you're talking about, somebody goes up to Pastor Joe and says, oh, Pastor, last week my friend Fred came to visit, and he left here really upset and said he's never coming back. Well, what was he upset about? Well, you were talking about sin, and it made him feel bad. Oh, really? Well.
And the pastor says, okay, he was from out of state, so who cares?
Yeah, maybe he's from out of town.
Yeah.
But no, you know, it's gotten incorrect now to talk about sin.
Oh,
it's gotten incorrect now to talk even about the most fundamental issues of life and family and the bedrocks of the Judeo-Christian morality, because it's offensive to people. You know, we had a ministry center in Washington, D.C., and we had to take down two granite tablets that had 10 commandments on them for a while. Then it got to put them back up after going through a trial and everything. But, you know, the thing was, people were walking by and they were offended. And I used to sit there in that center and watch people walk by and read the tablets. And it was fascinating to watch their facial expressions, because some people had like no clue what this even was.
Right.
But then you think to yourself, as of course, we're believers and we're trying to follow the Lord, and you think, well, who's going to be offended by, you don't murder, you don't steal, you don't lie? You don't, what's offensive about that?
And you know, the thing is, people go, well, I don't see the Holy Spirit working in the world anymore. That is the Holy Spirit working. They just don't recognize it, because what does the Holy Spirit do? He convicts you of the sin in your heart. Not in just in your life, but in your heart.
Yes.
Because sin arises out of the mind, out of the heart.
That's right.
And they're being convicted, but because they are not evangelized, because they don't know the Word of God,
right?
They dismiss it.
Yes.
And pastors should know this.
Yes. That's right. Excellent. The church has lost its voice. Go down a little bit and read 13 through 15.
But wicked people and charlatans will go from bad to worse, deceivers and deceived. But you, remain faithful to what you have learned and believed, because you know from whom you learned it, and that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are capable of giving you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus.
Ooh. So he tells Timothy that this evil, and even the evil we're seeing now, is going to get worse and worse. You know, if you talk to, I mean, I'm old, but if you talk to people even older than I am, they'll say to me, can you believe we'd ever be seeing this in our lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, no, because even 20 years ago, you wouldn't have thought this was going to happen. So the evil is going to get worse and worse. There's going to be more people deceiving through deceitful teaching.
Yeah.
So there'll be more people being deceived. And he tells Timothy, you have to continue in what you've learned because you've known the scripture since childhood. You know, he mentions his mother and his grandmother. They're Eunice and Lois, but I can never remember which one's which. But he says, you know, your mother and your, because Timothy had a Jewish mother and a Greek father.
Uh-huh.
So he says, you've known the scriptures from your childhood. So you have to remember that and you have to hang on to that. Because we have to learn what the word says, because the scripture is God's revelation of himself, of his law, of his salvation, is all revealed in the scriptures, and the scriptures cannot be neglected. And so he tells Timothy, because you're grounded in this, you have to keep doing what you're doing and recognize when there's deceit, recognize when there's false teaching. So when somebody says, Oh, by the way, Pastor Joe, aren't there like 38 genders? Pastor Joe should immediately say, well, no, actually there's two genders, because in the book of Genesis, it says God created them male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus repeats, in the beginning, God made them male and female. Haven't you read that?
Yeah.
So when somebody says, well, there's 38 or 52 or 106 or however many genders they say there are, you say, well, no, actually, look what it says in God's word. There's two genders. And then, again, like you mentioned, the Holy Spirit may convict the person, you know, maybe not at that very moment, but maybe later, if they're thinking about this and reflecting on it. What did that guy say about there's only two genders? Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I should read that Bible thing. But he tells Timothy, you got to be grounded in the scripture so you don't fall for this.
Mm-hmm.
People who aren't grounded in anything, and that doesn't mean you have to know chapter and verse and every word and what does the Greek mean and what does the Hebrew mean, but you at least have to know the foundational concepts that are involved.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, because it's not good to know those things.
Right.
It can be helpful at times, but the basic message of salvation is to repent of your sins and allow God to change your heart and your life, and that you live for him.
Yes.
And allow the Holy Spirit to do it. You don't need any theological training to do that.
Yes.
God doesn't require that. It's not a prerequisite.
Yes.
Jesus died on the cross long before people had theological backgrounds.
Yes.
So that they could come to salvation. It's a matter of the simple message of, God, I'm sorry for my sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to repent of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you invite Jesus Christ into your heart and you want to live for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a simple message of salvation. But in our culture today, it's got all convoluted with all these other messages, and people are trying to philosophically and, you know, think through these things. And it has nothing to do with the cross of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, somebody I heard pointed out we're heading toward a Christless Christianity.
Mm.
You know, and you see it even happening in churches, like we've been talking about. You see it happening in religious schools that used to teach, you know, solid foundational doctrines and now teach basically ecology and can't we all just get along and why can't we just be nice and Why does music have to start now?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we'll go back to this. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that the Holy Spirit would enlighten your heart and your mind to those things which separate you from the love of Christ Jesus through God the Father, and that you would abandon those areas of your life and turn them over to the Lord and allow him to make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.